Well, hello, hello everyone, and welcome to your NARSA weekly update for the week commencing Monday the 21st of August 2023. It's Gary here again. And, oh, you know what? We're really, really back into the season with a bang now, with the games coming thick and fast and little time for resting or even resting on our laurels and getting any sort of breather, which is kind of just the way I like it, if I'm being completely honest. And I don't know about you, but it feels so far anyway, it feels like a kind of slow and somewhat uninspiring start to the season, which I think in the fullness of time, we'll probably look back on and recall it as being just one of those things that goes with the territory of rebuilding your squad, the way that we have been rebuilding the squad thus far this close season. It's just that we don't have much patience as Rangers fans, and we want to win every single game that we play in with absolutely no exceptions whatsoever. So partly, I think that's because that's how we're wired. We've grown up on success. We've grown up on being simply the best. And partly because it's how the team from the East End have been performing over the past couple of seasons, with them hardly losing any domestic games of any note. Anyway, now, obviously, things took a bit of a turn for the funny yesterday when we learned that despite all the fun and hilarity levelled at us for being absolutely garbage and falling to defeat in the first game of the season away at Kilmarnock, that the East End mob did the very same and slipped to the very same defeat, but this time in the League Cup. Yes, the joy of sports and the old what goes around comes around sort of situation comes back to bite you in the bum. So that made me laugh and made a whole bunch of others laugh as well at the same time, I'm fairly sure. Now, if we had started the season absolutely on fire, I think this would have been even funnier as things unfolded yesterday, because that mob would likely be having an absolute utter meltdown right now. But that's not quite how we've done it. We haven't given the fans that yet to have them overly worried and us overly jubilant or euphoric at the same time. But that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy it and revel in their misery for at least a few days. So what that means now is that there is only one team in Scotland that now has a realistic chance at the treble. Early days, I know, but who says that we can't dream? And dream is just exactly what I think we'll do on this one. Anywho, let's get on with the pod for this week. The usual game segment, a little bit of a shout-outs, convention update, then a communications overview, then we'll get it done. And Dusty, recording this one a wee bit early today. Right now it's just coming up for 12:30 p.m. because I have a very busy afternoon at work, and then I'm playing football tonight fairly early, so I need to get all this organised and done and dusted. So if I miss anything material that happens with the club in the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours that I typically would catch by recording time, that's just the way that it goes. Two games on the game segment, two games this past week, one of course in the third round of qualification for the UEFA Champions League and one in the League Cup, with us doing exactly what we needed to do to get the results to help us progress in both competitions, which is the absolute must as we started the week, of course. Starting with the Champions League qualifier away to Servette, I thought we came out the blocks really well, first 5 minutes or so, and like we did in the first leg, with the main difference this time being that we didn't get any goal like we did at Ibrox to kind of settle things down. And then the first half after that really wasn't good enough for us, and fair play to Servette, as their goal that they scored was an absolute belter, a peach of a finish. However, when Danilo Van Vossen missed that absolute sitter for us not long after, I'm fairly sure I wasn't the only one that started to get a wee bit of a knot in my stomach, thinking, oh, this is not going to work out, and this is not going to be our night. But we managed to navigate another poor first half performance and then put in a much better second half performance and get the all-important goal from a brilliant Borna Barisic cross to captain fantastic James Tavernier, and then just we it was a brilliant goal, you know, and then we did well. We hit the woodwork after that, and then we weathered a bit of a storm. But when you actually look at, like, it felt like in the moment we were weathering a bit of a storm towards the end of the game. That's just the nerves talking, and, you know, a little bit of the doomsday stuff that we do to ourselves towards the end of games when it's quite tight. But when you look back on the game, there wasn't really any genuine heart in the mouth moments. And I thought that we saw the game out pretty comfortably in the end as well. So overall, very good. A 1-1 draw, exactly what we needed to get through, and get through is what we did. Positives, the result for sure, and the fact that we're now in the playoff round for the second successive season in the UEFA Champions League. I thought Jack Butland had another very, very solid game. He's just eased into the side superbly well. And I've been very, very impressed with him thus far. So that's great news, and congratulations and thank you to him. And another positive again would just be getting more minutes and game time together for the newer team members. Negatives, you know what? I'm not going to go too heavy on the team for this one. The main thing was to get through the tie at all costs, and that's exactly what we did. You know, these full team dips for the majority of the first half is, of course, a bit of a worry, but I have to hope that Michael Beale is getting this sorted out, you know, game by game by game as we speak, and just managing the games as best as he can as well. In terms of the stats, we had 54% possession, which is, you know, relatively high considering we're the away team there, and 12 shots with 4 on target to their 9 shots and 5 on target as well. So they did a wee bit better in terms of the shots on target for that. And then in terms of the referee watch, I thought the referee had a decent game. As far as I can remember anyway, he booked three of their players and none of ours, so that's a bit of a bonus. So as a result, he's just going to get the standard 7 out of 10 for that. Nothing earth-shattering from him. Then the second game was Saturday's League Cup game at home to Morton, where we managed to win the game 2-1, of course, and it honestly could easily have been 5 or 6, but for some heroics from the Morton goalkeeper, I thought, and another game where we did what we needed to do without really setting the heather on fire or getting everybody or anybody super excited. And, you know, positives from the game and getting through to the next round was the only objective, and that's what we managed to do. Dessers and Danilo getting on the score sheet is another real bonus for us. I think I mentioned this last week or a couple of weeks back, just the strikers getting on the score sheet early for the club takes away any of that early season nerves and any of the opportunity for anyone to say, you know, 16 games without a goal or, you know, whatever the number would be. So the forward scoring is always going to be so important for us to get them scoring early. And Dessers also set up the Danilo goal as well, which was terrific. Another positive, I thought, was, you know, another strong performance. I think a man of the match performance, depending on, I was watching it on RTV, and Rabbi Matondo got it on RTV. I believe the sponsor gave it to someone else at the actual stadium. But yeah, Rabbi Matondo, another good performance. And we've been very hard. Well, do you know what? I was going to say we've been hard on him since he joined us, but we haven't really, because we haven't really seen him. Haven't really seen him that much. But, you know, he came very highly rated. We were quite excited for his arrival, and he just hasn't delivered at all for us during his tenure with us until this past two games. So, you know what, better late than never and all that. And if he's going to start to turn in performances like that going forward, then that's like a, you know, the old cliche, but it's literally like a net new signing for us. So good for him on that one. The negatives, you know, the only negative for me was going behind to the penalty, which then gave us a wee bit of a nervy moment, but we did just keep plugging away. We kept the formation. We didn't do anything drastic or desperate or anything like that. And you know, I had a feeling that it was so early that we'd lost the penalty that it wasn't anything super nervous. But, you know, you don't want to do that, especially not at home. And as I mentioned earlier, there, due to some fantastic goalkeeping, we just had to wait the game out a wee bit, which was a wee bit of a pest. But that, and the only, I guess from a tactical perspective, that I would maybe just highlight under the negatives column is we just seem want to be throwing these aimless balls into the box time after time after time. And it's been proven that the majority of time, if you take away the Servette game, you know, where Tav steals in and to get the header from Barisic's cross, the tactic typically doesn't work for us. And it's kind of annoying, and it's annoying to watch it. when you see it unfolding, because it just seems like a wee bit of lack of ownership, a little bit of lack of creativity from the team as well. So I'd maybe put that there, since it was a lower league opposition, we should be better than that against these guys. In terms of stats, 68% possession, 16 shots in target, 16 shots in total, sorry, 9 on target, and that was against their 6 shots on goal, with 2 on target, which was kind of interesting, I guess, if nothing else. On the referee watch, David Dickinson did kind of okay for the most part, as far as I can remember. The only thing I would maybe comment on is he was looking right at the foul that he eventually gave after a VAR check, and then he went to the screen and then he gave it. I mean, he literally could not have had a better view of it, and yet he waved it away. So he'd be able to hear it, he'd be able to see it, everything going, and then he looks at it again. And then when I looked at it, I thought it was a penalty first time. And then when I looked at it on the replay, I'm like, no, I don't think it is a penalty, actually. And then he goes ahead and gives it, and you're like, come on, make up your mind. So that was kind of interesting. But other than that, I think he did okay. So just with that, a little bit of an annoyance there, he's going to get a 6 out of 10 for that simple fact there. So 2 games this week. One in the Champions League playoff round, and one where we're back to league business as well. So the first one, of course, is tomorrow's game against PSV Eindhoven, Ibrox. And that's on the 22nd of August. Yep, it is August still, Gary, yep. And that's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time kickoff. Actually, do you know what? It's not. It's 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time kickoff. It's an 8 p.m. UK. I just got my notes wrong there. And do you know, based on what I've been hearing from certain sources, certain negative sources, we have literally no chance in this tie, because PSV have strengthened a lot since last season. So have we, and they have been steamrolling their way to this round. Okay, we haven't exactly done that, but we haven't needed to. We are where we are. What I do know for sure is that both teams deserve to be exactly where we are, and we're the ones who already beat them last year, so I'm not sure why we should approach this tie with anything other than, you know, cautious optimism. We deserve the right to enjoy where we are, and that's exactly what I'm going to do anyway. And I did mention last week that we would get, I said £5 million as a parachute payment if we were to drop down from here to the Europa League group stages, but I was corrected after that that it's 5 million euros, so about £3 million or something like that. Either way, not anything to be sniffed at, and if the worst comes to the worst and we don't get through, then we've got that little bit of a parachute payment there as well. The second game we've got is against Ross County on Saturday. That's away at Ross County on Saturday the 26th of August, and that's 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time kickoff. That's 12:30 p.m. UK. You know, folks, only in Scotland would we have a round trip to pretty much the furthest away part of the country that we could go to in between crucial Champions League qualifiers, all the while when our opponents' footballing authorities have rearranged their game for this weekend to give them the maximum and optimum opportunity to progress. I think I've said this every year that I've been doing this podcast, you know, it's just sigh, and sigh again. Heaven forbid the Scottish footballing authorities would actually try to think out the box a wee bit and support and protect their member teams to give them the best opportunity to succeed. Absolutely incredible how backwater we really are on that sort of stuff. Just bizarre. Anyway, for RTV, I know I said this last couple of weeks, but we will absolutely be sending out the season fees information for the clubs this week. We wrote the email on the weekend, and we just need to split it out per club, and then you'll get the email to your club saying this is what your season fees are going to be and coming up with an appropriate payment plan. You can pay it all in one go. You can pay 2 instalments, one just now, one in January, or maybe some other alternative that would suit your club as well. Just get in touch with us once you get that email, but that's a guarantee that that's coming out this week, and I'll talk a wee bit more about that in a wee while there. In terms of shout outs for this week, I actually meant to do this one last week, and just in all the excitement of the new season and our convention planning and the RTV stuff that was going on, it slipped through the cracks, and I feel bad about that, because it's not a cheery one either, I'm afraid. I did get word that long-time member of Niagara True Blues Rangers Supporters Club, Rab McDonald, had passed away on the 9th of August. And in reading his online obituary, I did want to share this part of it. Next to his love for his family was Rab's love for Glasgow Rangers Football Club, Buffalo Bills and Elvis. To know Rab was to love him. He had a smile for everyone. He was the life of every family gathering, always getting the party started with his performances of his favourite Elvis tunes. That's very, very, very poignant, that. So Glenn Brotherston said Rab was a great friend to both him and his dad, Tommy. So it's just very, very sad news, of course. So on behalf of everyone at NARSA, I would like to pass on our sincere condolences to the McDonald family, and I hope that everything went well with his funeral and such as well. On to something a little bit cheerier than that, of course. I just wanted to pass on a big congratulations to the Bramalee Rangers Supporters Club on their celebration this past weekend, commemorating 30 years in their current location. Now, this wasn't their 30-year anniversary as a club. They're 38 years old as a club, but it's a significant milestone and one that they celebrated with a party on the weekend with a Queen tribute act, I believe, on Saturday night there. So if you haven't had the chance to go to the Bramalee location, but you are planning to be in and around the Toronto area, you should make your way there if you can. Reach out to the club beforehand and organise it, and if they can, someone would meet you there if it's not a day that they're typically open, and just take a peek at this place. It's absolutely incredible. For those that were at the convention this past June, you may have had the opportunity to go and enjoy their hospitality on the Sunday at their Father's Day barbecue that we also managed to get the VIPs up to for a bit of a time as well. And they also have Tennant's Lager on draft there as well, so that's another compelling reason to visit if that's your tipple. So congratulations to Fraser Curry and all the boys and girls at Bramalee on this significant milestone. And I haven't heard yet, but I'm sure the party was absolutely brilliant as well. Okay, for the convention update, which is probably the only reason that anybody's tuning in to the podcast these days, for NARSA 2024, I can officially confirm that it is 283 days and 40 weeks until NARSA 2024 in New York City, assuming that we can confirm the dates of the 30th of May to the 1st of June, which I need to be super duper clear, as I have been over the last month or so. These dates are not formally confirmed as of yet, because we have not signed the contract with the hotel as of yet. So if you missed last week's pod, I would strongly recommend that you go back and give it a listen, because I provided a lot of background information into where the current convention sits today. And as most of you will know, and within that I detail all the cost structure and all the things that we have to do to get things organised to make it a convention that will ideally not run at a loss, as much as we can possibly prevent that anyway. So as most of you know, or for those who are either NARSA member clubs and members of NARSA member clubs, are part of our distribution list, we did put out a survey last week educating our guests on what the cost model looks like, and with that information, whether you would then be able to plan, or we're requesting information, sorry, I should say, of whether you were planning to attend now that you know what the overall cost structure will and, you know, should look like as we go forward. We then sent reminders, one on Friday, and then I sent another one today. And to date, we just, as I say, we're just past the, we're coming up 12:44 p.m. and now we have just over 400 responses, which is about 20% of our entire distribution list. And of that, we have 26.4% say yes, which is just over 100 people, 27.7% say no, and 45.9% say that they're kind of thinking a bit of a maybe. If anybody's got the calculator out, I'll save you the hassle. That's 100%. I checked it just before I started recording, and this is literally where we sit right now. We have more information now than we did have this time last week, which means that we will be regrouping as a convention committee this week to decide on what our immediate next steps are going to be, and then we'll get in touch with the hotel to have a conversation with them. One thing I think we can be fairly confident on is that the convention is not going to be what we originally thought it was going to be. When we first voted on the convention being in New York City, that was in Las Vegas last year in 2022, and we were in the middle of the largest convention in NARSA history. We were just beyond the, you know, the visit to Seville, and we had high hopes for the team, and we were a wee bit euphoric. But with the benefit of hindsight, I don't think our dreams for 2024, you know, I don't think they were an unadulterated fantasy, but as we sit here now, just over a year later, with the information that we have now, the effects of the global turndown and other financial pressures, we just need to make sure that we make the most appropriate type of decision based on where we're at today, I think is probably the best way to say that. I did see a few comments. I'm not a big online guy, but I did see some comments online, and as normal, some of them are positive and some of them are negative. And the negative ones always make me kind of laugh, because you would never say that to a person's face. You know, you'd never come out with some of the stuff. I'm not even going to quote any of the stuff because I can't actually remember exactly what it was, but it's just rude, you know, where people just blurt stuff out. And I think it's comedy. You know, it's not social media for me, it's anti-social media most of the time. But anyway, the purpose of sharing this information with you every week on the podcast is to ensure that you're in receipt of the absolute facts and as close to real time as I can possibly get them. If you have any direct questions about this or anything to do with NARSA, of course, you can contact me directly, and many have actually, and I really do appreciate getting the emails, and I've answered every single email that I've received, and I will tell you what I can when I can, and that there's truly no need for speculation or supposition on what you think might be going on or what might be happening behind the scenes or the reasons or rationale for this or that. Just ask me and I'll tell you, and I'll tell you if I can't tell you, and then we'll be all in a better spot, in a better space as we go forward from there. So anywho, that's where we're at right now. On that, we'll be getting together, as I mentioned, as a committee this week, maybe even tomorrow. I need to message the folks. I'll do that this afternoon. And then we'll talk as a wider NASA executive, get back to the hotel, and then see where we go from there. So just to reiterate one more time, do not book your flights, please. We are targeting the 30th of May to the 1st of June. But with no signed contract yet, I would hate for you to waste your money just on the off chance that something happens and we can't host the convention for next year. In terms of other business for this week, I did want to just mention a wee bit of a summary for the work that your NARSA executive have been progressing on behalf of our membership and our convention guests since the end of last season. And the reason I'm doing that this week is I wrote this note, or a version of this note, to the NARSA executive over the weekend, just to kind of give us a wee bit of a summary, a wee bit of a status report almost. And when I wrote it, it's not an insignificant amount of work, you know, so I thought I'd share it with everyone today. We have, you know, the things that we've been doing, we've got the 2023 convention finances. They will be finalised basically this week. We have one last thing to check on the weekend there, which we checked, and I think we're in good shape now. As I mentioned last week, it's not a good news story from a financial perspective. Our NARSA membership fees were communicated to all of the clubs on, I think that was yesterday, I think it was on Sunday, maybe Saturday. And just to let everyone know that we are a wee bit behind time in terms of when we're supposed to collect these from a constitutional perspective, but we need that money in, because what we're going to start to do is, if clubs are not in good standing with NARSA come the end of, middle of September, something like that, maybe 3-4 weeks from now, then we will suspend their RTV service and just make sure that we get the membership fees in. You know, all the goodwill and everything that we have from the pandemic and the kind of loose approach to things, you know, we have to get a wee bit tighter on that. Not a threat. We will work with every club to make sure that they have ample information and ample time to get that organised, but we do need those monies in. Our RTV survey was complete and analysed. The vouchers were distributed to clubs and individual members, and the game fees will be communicated this week, as I mentioned there just earlier. Our game tickets application process has been communicated to all clubs, if you have any members who are visiting back home and want to go see a Rangers game. And of course, our Kissimmee partnership along with the club and the Experience Kissimmee organisation has also been communicated. And the only outstanding thing we have is just our AGM minutes, and those are a work in progress. We should probably get those out, I'm hoping this week, maybe next week as well. No mad rush on those, but it's always good just to get the admin done and dusted. So now we're really in a position to fully concentrate our efforts on basically what we're doing with NARSA 2024, which is a good thing. There's no other distractions that are kind of keeping us away. So as I mentioned, yeah, not an insignificant amount of work, and I'd like to reiterate another thank you, a public thank you this time, for the NARSA executive for all their help and support in getting us to this spot. On the communications section for this week, not a lot actually going on the communications, which kind of tends to happen when the games are coming thick and fast. There's not a lot of action from a club perspective. It's literally just all about the games, which is not a bad thing, of course. So I'm just going to go through the Jers guide for this week that I just looked at on the Rangers website just a wee while ago. Today was the press conference for PSV Eindhoven for the game for tomorrow, and you might have seen that we had pulled Ridvan and Hadji from the squad and put in Matondo and Davies, I believe it was. Yeah, I think it was Davies into there. And Michael Beale talked about that and talked about the implications for Yanis Hadji, of course, on the post-match press conference from the weekend there. He kind of reaffirmed his dissatisfaction as to, where he's at in terms of his playing time and such. So hopefully then that doesn't become too much of a drama and it gets managed the way that it should be managed. Tomorrow, of course, is the game at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wednesday, we have Hearts versus Rangers in the Scottish Power Women's Premier League, and that's a 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time kickoff. Then Friday, we have the press conference from the Ross County game. Saturday, early, we have the Ross County game. And then on Sunday, it's a big one for the Rangers women's team. In fact, both games are big for the, because I believe Hearts have got off to a good start this season as well. Then we have on Sunday Rangers versus Glasgow City in the Scottish Women's Premier League as well, and that's a 4:10 p.m. kickoff Eastern Standard Time. So that's 11:10 a.m. Sorry, 4:10 UK time, and that's 11:10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time kickoff as well. So there you go, folks. That will do it for this week. As always, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you very, very much for taking the time to listen. And please do share it with whomever you think might enjoy it and get this community as wide as we possibly can. Until next week, here's to seeing what tomorrow brings in our quest for Champions League group stage football and their continuation of our gelling process with the new squad members, and to another 3 points up north. Those games are never easy, but we should have enough in the tank to beat those folks from Ross County. So yeah, until next week, please do take care of yourself and all the very best. Okay, cheerio.